Thank you for joining us for Life in Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins, a.k.a. the Tax Man. Do you have to pay the Beatles royalties for your intro?
Hope not.
They're coming to get you.
I guess I'd be paying, I'm not sure who got it from Michael Jackson.
Yeah, right.
So whoever that's bought right. it from them. You know, I know he originally had all the Beatles collection.
So. Bank of America might have that.
Exactly. And, yeah. You know, Bruce Springsteen, we didn't mention this, but he just sold his collection for a nice.
Half a billion.
Yeah, $600 million.
Nice. Dollars. That's why they call him the boss. Because he's getting his taxes in order for the end of the year.
Exactly.
It did come towards the end of the year.
Exactly. We, you know, and that's one of the big things, and what we want to focus in on today is some year-end tax planning. You know, and we mentioned that, you know, and that's might be a good place to start relative to capital gains rates. Mm-hmm. And so one of the big things we were talking about relative to the Build Back Better agenda, which Joe Manchin, you know, did his best Randy Jackson. It's going to be a no for me, dog. Mm-hmm. That's what he said at the end of the year. We kind of forecast that in last week's show, saying that the Christmas deadline was not going to be met. And then, of course, Joe Manchin goes on Sunday shows and inferred that there was not going to be no deal, period, relative to this particular piece of legislation.
I can't vote for it.
It's going to be interesting to see if they break it into smaller pieces of legislation. I think there could be some support. I was already reading yesterday about the possibility of taking that bill more in a piecemeal manner versus a omnibus.
Try it again.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way they can do it. But you know what? You come, get out of the holidays and the clock's ticking to those midterms.
We talked about it. You know, we talked about how do you get something passed in an election year? Mm. You know, and I just don't know, other than just maybe a small one-off bills. That's probably about the only thing you're going to see. You're not going to see a major piece of legislation, I don't believe, at this point in time. I think that time is coming past. But again, we'll see, you know, what happens with that. But the bottom line is Build Back Better in its current form appears to be a no-go.
A no-go for this year. Eight days before the new year begins, so it means 8 days left in the year 2021. Is there still things we can do as far as our taxes go?
Yeah, so, you know, Bruce Springsteen, we mentioned him. He's taking advantage of the current capital gains rates. So, you know, one of the big things on the Build Back Better was increasing capital gains rates. So, you know, we're looking at possibility of 10% increase in capital gains for a person like the boss.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I think there was incentive, and we saw a lot of musicians, you know, in 2021,
Bob Dylan,
sell off their catalogs. And one of the big reasons we mentioned it is it was taxes, because they saw on the writing that this might be the lowest, you know, tax year relative to capital gains that they may have. So it was an incentive to get that done and get that deal closed prior to the end of 2021, you know, in effort to make sure they don't pay an increased tax rate in 2022. So that's one of the things that our listeners can listen to, you know, which is, you know, if you have some capital gains out there, you know, we have a 0% capital gains rate depending on your income level. So it's possible if you're in that retirement age, you know, and you're not making that income that you used to make, you know, look into that, because it's possible that you want to take advantage, because the market's been, you know, fairly good this year.
Yeah.
So you might have some gains out there. The other thing we talk about is harvesting tax losses. So we all know that you can take $3,000 of capital loss against ordinary income. And then after that, you must offset capital loss with capital gains.
Yeah. Right.
So really the big thing there is that if you've got losses sitting out there, but maybe you don't have necessarily the gains or don't want to take the gains, well, at least take $3,000 in losses, because that's going to be able to offset your ordinary income and, of course, reduce your tax burden at the ordinary rates, which the top rate is 37%. So, you know, that could be a very big boon. You know, one third of a dollar is a lot of
that's
money
on that
$3,000 of possible deductions. Season of giving, you know, we have charitable giving opportunities. You know, we've talked about before about the increased standard deduction, how a lot of our listeners are out there and aren't itemizing their deductions. So therefore, you know, they don't get that real good benefit relative to charitable giving.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, we talked about staggering years, about how 1 year maybe you choose to itemize, so you put more into your charitable contributions. And then the next year, you know, maybe take the standard deduction, so you kind of maybe this might be a year where you're considering pushing in a little bit more of your donations so that you can take advantage of the charitable giving deduction. And that is actually up to 100% of adjusted gross income to public charities for this particular year. So usually there's a 60% limit on cash donations to public charities. This year under the, you know, coronavirus relief bills, we have 100%, up to 100% of AGI that you're able to gift to a charity. You know, again, if you're trying to maybe itemize this year and maybe take the standard deduction in the next years.
You mentioned cash, but you can also donate appreciated stock as well.
Correct. Appreciated stock. You could gift your IRA required minimum distribution.
Yep.
So we talked about that before about how you don't get a charitable deduction for it, for actually making that IRA contribution. But if that money goes from your IRA to the charity, you don't have to include that in income.
Yep.
So that might be a big benefit to you, because it just never hits your books relative to having to pay taxes on that required minimum distribution. So another good way to give money to charity and get a tax benefit from it. The other thing is that this year we have a $300 charitable deduction that is above the line. So that's great, because what does that mean?
You can take
the standard deduction, Mike.
Yeah.
You can take the standard deduction, and then if you've given money to charity up to $300, you can take that
right off.
Oh, well, yeah, as well. That's exactly right.
And still get the standard deduction.
Itemized.
You're just taking it right off the top.
That's exactly right. You do not have to itemize your deductions. You can take the standard deduction up to $300 per individual, $600 married filing jointly relative to this charitable contribution deduction that's above the line. Again, that was part of some of these coronavirus relief packages that they put in here to encourage people to give money to charities. So take advantage of that.
Get
because
proper receipts, right?
You can't
just say I stuck $300 in the kettle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and the good news on this is that if you're taking the standard deduction and your tax return's fairly straightforward, I mean, even if you didn't have that proper receipt, it's such a low amount. You know, I think that the odds of you getting audited are very low. So, you know, I would tell you that if you've really truly given the $300, regardless of whether you have a receipt on it or not, I think that you should take the deduction on this regard.
The risk is
minimal.
The check works as a receipt.
Yes.
To a proper nonprofit.
Check works as a receipt. You know, we've talked about before about if you're over $250, you want to have that return receipt from the charity saying there was no goods or services received relative to this donation.
Right, I didn't get a dinner out of it or something like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's to be the only requirement. But, you know, maybe you've given $100 here, $100 there, $100 to another entity,
yeah,
and they're all check form. Fine. You've got the proof.
You've got the backup.
You can show that you've given that amount of money above the line deduction. You know, go ahead and feel free to take it. So that's another really good, you know, year end tip there. So it's really all about, you know, trying to minimize your income, you know, maximize your deductions, take advantage of those capital losses. You know, if you need to, you can divert money into a 401k, an IRA, if you need to lower your income. So those are the type of things we're looking to do here at the end of the year in order to help your tax situation so you can pay less tax in, you know, in 2022 for your 2021 year.
The donations, the window closes December 31st as far as taxes go, but you just mentioned about contributing to your IRA. Do you have extended time?
Yes.
For that, up until tax day almost.
Up until tax day.
Which
That's
is
right.
The 18th of April this year, I believe it is.
Is it 18th?
I think I read it. It's on a normal schedule, but it's not the 15th, I do not believe. But we'll, as we get nearer to that,
of course,
we'll dial that in.
But, yes.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be talking about the deadlines and the fact that this could be our first normal tax year relative to deadlines in a long time.
You heard it here first. What about gift giving? At the end of the year, people, if they want to double up gift giving, they could do it in the last week of this month and the first week in January.
So good point. So we've been focused so far on income taxes. You switched a little bit over to exchange taxes, gift taxes.
Yeah.
So remember, gift taxes, the donor is typically the one that has to pay the gift tax, not the donee, not the recipient. So here we have a nice provision that's in the code, which says every year you can use your annual exclusion, give $15,000 to any individual, and it's per individual. It's not just, you know, as a donor, it's not your capped at $15,000 total. It's no, every person, $15,000.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Your mom can listen to that too, because
Andrew Foster,
you know, could use a cool $15,000. the bottom line is you're exactly right, which is we encourage our, a lot of our clients at this time of year. Hey, look, if you want to, and you, you know, you, maybe you've inherited some money or maybe you've some, for some other reason you had a good year and you want to, you know, gift to the next generations. Hey, $15,000 this year, turn right around on January 1, write another check, $15,000.
30.
Total of 30.
Yeah. Now your box is checked for 22.
Correct. You can gift to spouses. You can gift to kids. So, I mean, there's a real good opportunity to, you know, lower your taxable estate by giving money. And guess what? You don't have to file a return and no tax is going to be due on that gift.
Yeah.
So those are big things.
On both sides, the recipient or the donor.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's nice. Hope you're listening there, Mom. It's spelled F-O-S-T-E-R. You can just put A Foster on there. Very good. You'll be available if people want to reach out and talk to you?
Definitely. So our office is going to be closed next week. Obviously, we're going to be ready to roll January 3rd.
Yeah.
But clearly, emails will be open. So afosterhardvillandcollins.com. Feel free to email me. And, you know, voicemail box will be open as well from the office. But we look forward to finishing out this year strong and being there for our clients come January 3rd.
Merry Christmas, Andrew.
Merry Christmas.
Reach out to Andrew, 252-726-9050, HarvellandCollins.com.